This is All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Sean Carlson. Today's crash of a New Jersey transit train in Hoboken comes at a tough time for both the transit agency and the state transportation system in general. Joining me now is WNYC reporter Kate Hines to talk about all this. Hey, Kate, how you doing?
Hi, Sean.
So we should say from the start, obviously, it's too early to speculate on the cause of the crash. That sentiment was echoed by both governors, Christopher Christie and Andrew Cuomo, at a press conference earlier this afternoon. That said, though, the acronym PTC is being thrown around. Tell us about positive train control, and does NJ Transit have it?
Positive train control is a set of technology that's designed to guard against human error in cases like speeding or when a driver blows through a red signal. It basically automatically brakes a train, and you usually hear about it after a tragedy, like last year's fatal Amtrak crash in Philadelphia. And no, New Jersey Transit doesn't have it, like most commuter rail systems across the country, including Metro North and Long Island Railroad. It's very expensive to install, and the federal government has moved back the deadline to implement it to 2018.
And the crash today, it does come at a tenuous time for NJ Transit, right? There's all these funding issues and leadership issues. Explain just a little bit of what's going on.
Well, first, the backdrop of the state. In July, Governor Christie shut down, stopped work completely on all non-essential transportation projects. This came after a protracted battle between the governor and state legislators over how to raise the gas tax. That revenue is used to pay for transportation projects. So for almost 3 months, $3.5 billion worth of roads, bridges, and yes, rail projects have been in limbo. The governor has said that the shutdown doesn't apply to emergency projects, but what it means is that right now, all kinds of state of good repair projects have been halted. For New Jersey Transit, what this means is it essentially is missing 20% of its budget, over $500 million. Money to buy new buses, rebuild train engines, and install inward-facing cameras in the engineering compartment, which provides useful information in a crash investigation, just isn't there. Meanwhile, New Jersey Transit has been without a permanent executive director since last year when its leader went over to run New York City Transit. They did hire someone in April, but he wound up leaving before he even began. And it's been difficult for the agency to attract candidates, not only because of its funding issues, but because Christie will leave office in 2017. And transit watchers know that means a new governor might want to appoint his or her own new leader at New Jersey Transit.
Oh, boy. So do we know, again, and it is very early, so we don't want to speculate too much, but the funding stalemate and all the things that you just outlined, do we know if any of that could have contributed to the crash today?
We definitely cannot draw a direct line, but it will raise some serious questions if the federal government determines that the crash is the result of mechanical failure and not human error. But New Jersey Transit's funding problems right now predate the summer's transportation funding stalemate, and its equipment is really starting to show signs. Earlier this year, WNYC's Data News team and I looked into this, and we found that the latest federal statistics show New Jersey Transit trains broke down 213 times in 2014. That's 2.5 times as many as Long Island Railroad, which is the country's busiest commuter rail line. Meanwhile, 30% of their morning rush hour trains arrive into Penn Station late, and New Jersey Transit, which has never been the most transparent public agency around, I can tell you, hasn't had a public board meeting since June 8th, and it won't say why.
So regarding the Hoboken crash, you mentioned that crash in Philly last year,
right?
and all that, and all these conversations that came out from that. You know, what do we do now, and what needs to change to prevent these things from happening? What do you think happens now in the aftermath of Hoboken?
Well, the NTSB is going to be on the scene, and they are just going to be combing through everything that they can. The train will have a black box, which will give them information about things like speed, braking activity, etc. They'll be doing metallurgy tests on the rail. They'll be doing all kinds of mechanical analyses. And they'll also interview the train crew and do toxicology screenings on everybody. And these usually take a long time. You know, typically the NTSB doesn't make a determination for about a year. They conduct extensive interviews and really, you know, roll their sleeves up and get in there. But they will make, at the end of this year, they will make recommendations, and they will say, you know, this is what happened and this is what we think you should do in the future to prevent it. But what they can't do is give you the money to implement those recommendations.
Well, thank you so much, as always, Kate. And we are trying to keep you updated on the latest in terms of your evening commute here. Path into and out of Hoboken has resumed this evening in time for the rush. NJ Transit service to and from Hoboken will remain suspended for the foreseeable future. Service on the rest of the network is being modified. Passengers are urged to leave Manhattan from Penn Station and switch to Secaucus Station if they need to reach station not served by Penn Station routes. And Maine, Bergen, Pascack Valley, and Port Jervis lines will operate to and from Secaucus. Mars Essex Line, Gladstone Branch, Montclair Bootin Line have limited service. Again, we'll keep everybody updated as we hear. You can head to our website, WNYC.org, for the latest on your transit situation. Thanks so much, Kate Hines.
Thank you.
This is WNYC.